Welcome to the But You're Wrong podcast. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Padilla.
Make sure you check us out every Wednesday, every Saturday on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Be sure to check out But You're Wrong Facebook page, facebook.com/ButYou'reWrong. Please give us a like on there and follow us on Twitter at BYW Podcast.
And on YouTube at youtube.com/BYW Podcast. If you like Keith, make sure you check him out on the Amazon Kindle Marketplace. We now join the But You're Wrong podcast, already in progress.
My day was pretty good. Nothing too grand, nothing too too boring.
Mm-hmm.
I went to play a little GTA Online. Was not able to log in.
Really? Again?
Yeah. I was gonna try later, and then I got distracted by doing other stuff, so I said, fuck it.
Yeah. That's weird, because you would think that during the day, I don't know. I feel like nighttime, like U.S. nighttime, would probably be the busiest time for it, but during the day, it wouldn't be quite as bad.
Well, maybe, but it depends on how many college kids are trying to play it.
That's true. I didn't think of the college kids.
Maybe I should be playing it at night during, like, their prime drinking time.
Yeah, maybe. But then again, that's when all the workers and business people get home to play.
Yeah, but I'm thinking the percentage of people... See, I'm thinking it breaks down like this. Your phone is blowing up. I keep hearing it vibrate. What you got going on?
I know. I'm sorry. People are texting me.
Are you trying to make plans? Did plans come up for tonight? Am I ruining plans?
No, you didn't.
Okay. Because I was going to say, let's record another 10 minutes and we'll just give them a short episode today.
No. We're okay.
Let's just talk about sucking dicks and jerking off and then we'll close out and be done with it. if you got someplace to be, that's...
No.
We'll hit Grand Theft Auto, jerk it off, blowjobs, and I don't know, we'll throw Robert Urich in there, and then that's our sign off.
So, the usuals.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm thinking it breaks down like this. The people that are playing Grand Theft Auto online, there is the, I'm going to say 5% of them are, like, always playing.
Okay.
They're the diehard people. There is, from there, I'm going to say a majority of the remaining percentage is probably, I'm going to say, college-type students. So I'm going to include in there maybe, like, grad students that are, you know, that are still basically in college or people who are still kind of living that lifestyle, like, right after they graduated. Like, they're working some job where they work at night or whatever, like whatever shitty job they could get. So I'm gonna include them, and then I think the rest of it, I'm gonna say probably maybe like 20%. So let's see, 20. So 75% is college kids.
No way.
No, I'm gonna say it's like this. I'm gonna say 45% are college kids. I'm going to say another 45% is annoying college kids or teenagers, annoying teenagers. Like the ones that really shouldn't probably be playing the game, but their mom doesn't know any better. So, like, you can hear them in their mic when they're trying to yell at the guy robbing the store, like, hurry up and put the fucking money in the bag. They're like, Mom, I told you. I'm going to finish it in 5 minutes. Just let me rob this guy, okay?
Okay.
Like that. I'm going to say that's another 45%. And then the remaining, like, 5% is, like, straight-laced business people.
I completely disagree. I think you are severely underestimating the audience of GTA.
Oh, no, I definitely am. As soon as I said it, I completely regretted those numbers.
I think that people older than the age of 25 that have, like, legitimate jobs make up a much bigger group than you think, or that you said, than you said at least.
Oh yeah, okay, I agree with that. Here's what I'm thinking though, in terms of, without saying numbers, in terms of largest numbers, I think it definitely starts off college kids.
Okay.
I think
I would say the greatest single percentage. Yeah, you're probably right.
I think it's going to be college kids. Then I'm thinking teenagers.
Maybe.
Closely followed closely by business people.
Now, true. You got to take into account the fact that the average video game player is not young anymore. The average video game player is over 30.
Yes.
And especially now, this game caters to everyone. Now, it's not supposed to be played by kids, but obviously we know they play it.
But they do.
Yeah. So it's kind of hard to really say.
You know what? Yeah, I'm thinking it probably goes college kids and then, like, actual adults and then teenagers.
I don't know. And I mean, obviously, I only, like, really talk with other people my age or around the same age or older. So I guess it's kind of tough to really say. But, I mean, everyone that I know plays it. I feel like that's becoming kind of standard where people, you know, people our age and older are playing these kind of games. Especially because we grew up with it. And honestly, we're younger than the average video game player. Because, you know, video games really started in like the late 70s, real early 80s, and yeah, people got hooked.
But it depends on what you consider a video game player. Like, how often does somebody have to play it in order to be like qualified into making the average age above 30?
I guess I'm probably talking about people that I would say I'm probably talking about people that keep up with systems. So someone that's on this current generation and within the next year or so will buy the next group. You know, someone who plays, you know, at least a couple hours a week.
Right. See, the thing is, though, I feel like that's the people over 30 are probably not the ones that would play Grand Theft Auto for the most part.
No, well, you're right. A lot of them won't.
Like, I think the average gamer who's above 30 would not play Grand Theft Auto. I think their thing is usually more like sports games and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe Call of Duty, something that they can pick up a little bit easier and then put down. And
well, yeah. And that's true, too, is because it's something that you can just jump in and play real quick and not have to worry about investing a lot of time in.
Yeah. Like, probably, well, okay. I to our listeners, I actually specifically wanted to try and avoid Grand Theft Auto, but let's just cover this. Although we're not actually talking about the game, we're talking about the history. Because I feel like Grand Theft Auto, the game series, that's something that, like, we grew up with.
Yeah.
So I think the largest percentage of people that is probably playing Grand Theft Auto comes from, like, our generation.
Yeah, maybe anyone from, I would say the ages between 20 and 30.
Yeah.
That is where probably 85% of your GTA players are.
I would say anyone that was in high school or probably maybe like anyone who was at least in sixth grade when like GTA 3 or Vice City came out, Like, they're probably picking up this game.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it's funny because it's only going to get older, though. Because another 5 years from now, when you and I are in our early to mid-30s,
yeah,
we're going to be buying GTA.
Well, yeah.
More likely than not.
I hope to, except I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm going to reach the point where I'm just like, I don't have the time for this shit. But who am I kidding? I'm going to make the time.
That's the thing. I feel like, okay, 5 years, 10 years from now, am I going to have as much time to play video games? Okay, first off, I hope I don't have as much time to play video games. But also in that respect, I hope that I do have some time to play them, and I will probably pick up less games. I'm not going to buy as many games as I do now, but I hope that, you know, I will use that time that I do have to play Grand Theft Auto or an Elder Scrolls game or something like that. Yeah. Something that I really want to play.
I feel like what's going to happen when we get older is, 'cause, hang on, let me back up here. How many games do you really actually buy or like ask for like as gifts or whatever a year?
I don't know. I have slowed down a little bit, but let's say 6 or 7.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm down to probably... Actually, you know what? I might be at 6 or 7 now, but I buy, like, different sorts of games. But then I'll also be buying games that are cheap because they came out, like, a year or two ago.
Yeah. And some of mine are in that category. But, you know, I traded in a bunch of games before I got GTA. And I have significantly less sitting in my stack right now. But man, I had like over 25 360 games.
Really?
Yeah. And like, it's crazy. You don't, granted, the system's lasted a while. The 360's been out longer than almost any other system.
Yeah.
You know, before our new systems come out. But I was like, Jesus Christ, I bought a lot of games for this system. My God.
Yeah, over time, it just kind of adds up. But see, I'm thinking I'm going to get to the point where I will buy just a couple a year, probably.
Yeah. I'm sure that by the time I'm 35, that I will probably only get, you know, 2 or 3 games a year, maybe.
Yeah, and they will be franchise games. Like, there will be Grand Theft Auto... There'll be Assassin's Creed or Madden or like Elder Scrolls. Like, there'll be something that you've just have like always played. You're like, well, I've always played it, so I'll keep playing it.
Right. There might be one here and there that is like a new series that someone's like, you know, that you hear everyone's talking about and you're like, you gotta play this.
Yeah,
like,
but
once in a while that might happen.
That'll be like the fourth game that you get every year because you'll be like walking through Walmart or like your wife will be like, hey, I'm going away for the weekend.
Yeah.
And you're like
I can't J-O the entire time.
Yeah, and you're like, what am I gonna do this weekend? Shit. And then like you're like walking through Walmart stocking up on like frozen pizza and shit. And you're like, let me see what games there are. And it's like $15 and you're like, well, here's my weekend.
Yeah, like that's exactly.
Yeah, it's gonna be that. But really it's gonna cut way, way down. And I mean, if you have kids, forget it until you get to the point where the kids can actually play the games with you.
Yeah. I think those will be good times, though.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be good times, except for... until you get used to letting them win sometimes, it won't be good times. Because you're, like, trying to explain to the kid, and you're crushing them. And then you let them win a couple times, and it's all fun then. And then at some point, they start to surpass you. And then you're like, okay, this isn't fun anymore.
Yeah,
and they're like,
that's true.
Do you want to play a game, Dad? Nope. Daddy's got stuff to do. He's got to go drink in the closet quietly. Cry.
Yeah.
Think about where his youth has been.
Because as good as I am at video games, I was better when I was like 8. You know?
Well,
or like maybe not 8. I'll say like when I was like 12 to 14.
I don't know if that's a fair assessment though, because the games were very different when we were that age.
I don't know. I go back and play games like that now. I can't even handle it. They're too fast. Maybe my reaction time isn't as good because I've just drank my brain into oblivion.
Well, hang on. Do you play them while drinking? Because that might be part of the problem.
Oh yeah. See, that's a problem. I can't remember. maybe that could be part of the problem.
I'm trying to think of like games. When did Metal Gear Solid come out?
96 maybe.
Let's see. 98.
Okay. Damn.
All right, so I believe
the same year as Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time.
So I would have been 13. I don't know. Maybe I should go back and play Metal Gear Solid and see what happens.
I bet you won't be as good as you were then. I'm serious. Like I tried to replay the first Zelda, the original Zelda. And I could not find the second dungeon for the life of me. Like, I had to look it up online. I was like, I beat this game when I was like 6.
See, now I think part of the problem, though, might be that you also don't... Like, the games have advanced so much now that we're now programmed in a different video game logic than we had when we were 12. Like, when we were 12, everything was straightforward. But now we're like, maybe there's like a weird rock formation that it's actually behind or something, and it's not actually that door over there. So you spend like a while like checking the walls and stuff, and then you're like, well, I guess it is that door. Whereas when we were a kid, we were like, oh, well, it's obviously that door right there.
That's true. Video game logic has changed a little bit. No doubt about that.
Yeah, because now we have a lot of different options.
It's funny. I've always thought video game logic was one of the funniest things in the world, because things that are logical in video games are so illogical in the real world. And I love, like, you see it and you're just like, oh my god, that makes so much sense. In a video game, like, oh, of course you have to put these two sculptures together to make the big one and then stick it on top of this pillar. Like, why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah.
Where it's like, why would you ever think of that? But you've just played so many video games, it's just like, well, obviously that's what you do.
Yeah, just like, okay, well, how do I open this door with this lock? And it's like... You go up to it and there's no keyhole or whatever. So you're like, okay, so you know it's probably those statues over there by the fireplace. Probably something to do with those.
You can tell by our descriptions that we've played Resident Evil.
Yeah,
but no, and it goes like there's a lot of things like that, and even doesn't even have to necessarily be puzzles like that, but just like the way like you can like. Cause things to happen, like things to fall into each other. I remember like my sister not long ago was trying to play the Angry Birds, and you know she's fine at it, but like she's getting to these levels and she's like, I can't beat this level, I've done it 100 times. So she hands it to me and I beat it in like one or two tries, and she's like, how could you do that? And I was like, I've been playing video games since I was 3 years old. I mean, I should know how to, like, it just does. I just do it. Like, it's not, you know, I don't think about it.
A lot of it's like weird problem solving stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
There's all the puzzle. It's usually puzzle stuff where they're like, well, I'm trying to find this one piece and I'm stuck in this room. And you're like, all right, well, obviously you have to find a way to open the door. And it probably has something to do with this guy, this tank over here. So you just got to figure out something about, hey, what's that thing doing over there? Like, what's the point of that thing? Or, you know, that looks a little too shiny or something like that. And you're just like, what? Why do you, how do you know that that's the way? I don't know.
That's the way it works.
Yeah, maybe you got to go up. There was a point where all of a sudden you were like, oh, wait, there's another floor. Maybe I got to go up.
And that's another thing. In video game logic, going up is always the best option.
Yeah.
You always want to go up. If there's an option to go up or down, you always go up. And it's been like that since we were real young playing Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
You always high ground. Always go for the high ground.
Yeah.
And I still do that. Even though I play games where it doesn't even really make sense anymore, I will still always, like, if you get two options and I know I'm going to backtrack, you know, if I'm wrong and have to go back the other way, I will always choose to go the high route first and check that before I go the low route. But I don't know why, but, well, no, I do know why, because it's video game logic.
But see, I think that's something that's been, that they might have taken from actual, like, military. Because you always want to, the higher ground is always the better positioning in a military situation.
Yeah, you're right. That's true.
Because, like, whenever you're in Skyrim and you stumble upon a giant and his mammoths and you're like, I'm going to kill that giant. You always want to take the high ground, though.
Yeah, you go on the top of the hill.
Yeah, you're like, well, I'm going to go up that hill there. I'll circle around, go up on top of that, and then I'll shoot him. And that's a good military strategy. But we're thinking of it more as like, well, that's just what you do in a game. That's just, you go up.
Yeah, that's true.
Although, actually, in Mario Brothers, you always went down. At the end of every level, you went down that pipe.
Yeah, but you had to jump up to get to the top. I know what you're saying. I mean...
Yeah, you would go up, jump over to the flag, which I could never do. Right.
And then go down the pipe after the little castle.
And then you would go down the pipe into the next thing.
True. I don't know. I'm just not always, like, when you're in the level. When you're in the actual level itself.
When you're given two choices.
You go up.
Yeah. That's why whenever you had to jump on the moving platform that was going down, you panicked. Because you were like, oh, shit, this is not going to be good.
Down is always bad. If you go down, you're going to die. Or they'd have the levels where you would – the whole screen would continuously move up and you have to keep up with the screen. That rarely happened in the reverse direction.
Yeah.
Once in a while it did. But that was later on.
Yeah, down's never good. No. Up is always better.
Yeah.
And that's part of video game logic. Also, whenever you're getting attacked and you see something red, you always shoot it.
Something red? Yes.
Yeah. Because you're always like, red explosion. Oh, that didn't work.
If it's red, if it's pulsating, if it's glowing, if it's on an enemy and it looks, or an eye, if you're fighting an enemy and it has an eye in a weird place, then you shoot it.
Yeah.
Always shoot the eye. I don't know why, but that's just a rule.
Yeah, the eye is always in a weird place. Anything that's... See, I think it's the thing that, like, we're trained to look for things that stand out.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I think most people, if you sit them down, if they haven't been playing video games the last 20 years of their life, they're like, oh, like, look at this crazy design. Like, he's got two huge eyeballs. And you're like, shoot the eyeballs!
Yeah. Yeah, you're playing Resident Evil. And they're like, oh, look, he's got an eyeball on his upper arm. That's weird. Be like, that's his weak point.
Shoot it.
Obviously.
Shoot it. Shoot the eyeball. And they're just like, why? How do you know that's going to work? Trust me.
Be like, it has to work. What else would it be?
Yeah. Why would they just put an eyeball there? Come on.
What are you, stupid? It's just, it's basically a target.
Yeah. This is a video game. Like, this is how it works.
Yeah. Exactly. Or you just, you learn a new thing. You like, you know, you're going to go out on a mission. It's like, okay, well, I'm gonna go out on a mission. No, wait, you gotta hold on. You got enough life? You got body ammo? You got enough ammo?
Yeah.
You gotta make sure you don't leave the house without that stuff.
Yeah, I do that in GTA all the time. I'm just like, well, I'm gonna go do this, but you know what? I'm gonna stop at ammunition, pick up some armor.
Oh my god, I always take inventory of what's going on. Yeah. Do I have enough ammo? Do I have enough shotgun shells? Am I gonna waste all my shotgun shells?
Like, you know what, I'm gonna go out on some drug runs as Trevor. Let me stock up on my Uzi ammo.
Yeah.
Yeah, you always gotta take stock. My favorite thing is in video game logic though, is when you're going through like a normal or like a not a normal but like a straightforward kind of level one path.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you're in a room that has all this these weapons and armor and stuff, and you're like, oh shit, something bad's on the other side of that door.
Yep. And you sit there and you're just like, why would they give it to me if I wasn't going to use it?
Yeah, why are they giving me the chance to stock up? Like, what the fuck's about to happen?
That's another classic, like, Resident Evil type thing, where you get to a room and there's just, like, five boxes of handgun ammo. And you're just like, oh, great. I know what's going to happen. So-and-so, he's going to be on the other side of that door.
It'd be terrible if that applied in, like, real life. So you're just, like, you're just walking through your life, and then all of a sudden they're like, hey, can you get something in the back room for me at work? And you're like, oh, yeah, no problem. And you open up the door, and it's just a bunch of guns and stuff. And instead of being like, well, this is a weird thing to stumble upon at work, you're like, oh, fuck.
See, like, in real life, I would stumble upon that, and I'd be like, oh, awesome. I got tons of ammo now. But I wouldn't think to myself, like a video game, and be like, oh, man, I got to be prepared. Something bad's going to happen.
See, I think I would. I think I'm so trained at this point, I would open that door and be like, oh, fuck, some monster alien's about to come bursting into this place.
Yeah.
So you
or when they allow you to save.
Oh, yeah, when they didn't have, like, the you could save whenever, when it was, like, designated save points.
Exactly.
And they were like, do you want to save? And you're like, yes, I want to save.
I'd be like, of course I want to save. You're going to fucking throw me to the wolves in 2 seconds. Yes, I want to save.
Of course. I'm about to get fucked in the ass. Of course I want to.
That was the thing. I wasted, in old games like that, I would waste so much time saving because I would do something and it wouldn't even be like that consequential. And I'd be like, oh my God, I got to go save because what if I die? It's not going to be saved. You know, like I got to run back and go to that special room save.
That one special save point.
The one save point because I just got a bunch of ammo and, you know, because and now I know that I'm going to face the boss. So now I have to go back to the other room and save so that if I die, because the boss is probably going to kill me the first time I try, then I still have all my ammo. It was really a pain in the ass. You'd waste an extra like 10 minutes going back, save, and then walking all the way back and be like, all right, I'm ready to fight the boss. And then he'd just kill you anyways.
Yeah. And then it'd be like, well, I didn't see a giant eye, so I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, I don't know. What am I supposed to shoot?
I don't see an eye or like a weird glowing thing. Nothing stands out to me on this guy, so.
Or like, so sometimes, like, it'd be really weird to be like the boss, like, for some reason, he would just, like, open his mouth wide and be like, oh, okay. So he's just conveniently opening up his mouth. Maybe I should shoot him in the mouth. I don't know.
Maybe I gotta shove a rocket launcher in there or something. All right, let's try this.
A boss in a video game will always conveniently show you his weak spot and do it many times, even after he realizes that you know what it is.
It's kind of like when in a movie, especially a Bond film, the bad guy reveals his plan.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, except he's just really explaining how to kill you. Or kill him.
Yeah.
He's like, listen, I know I'm a huge pain in the ass. I get it. But if you really want to get rid of me, then just, you know. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this thing and be like, I hope he doesn't shoot me in the foot. Wink, wink.
Or I'll just turn around and there'll be a big eye on my back. And you'll be like, I wonder why he's got an eye on his back. And then periodically through the fight, I will turn around so it's blatantly exposed.
Yeah, good thing I get easily distracted when you plug this thing in and flip that switch over there and turn on the TV. I'm easily distracted by friends. I really wish I had Rachel's haircut. And Ross just pisses me off. See, I'm already... Oh, I see you. Look, you just killed me. My health just went down. Son of a bitch. How did you know that was my weakness?
Wow, that was a really interesting
tangent there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, this is what happens. Yeah. Oh, but that, I think if I came upon a huge stock of weaponry, I would just be like, something bad's about to happen.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I would probably question why it was there. That's definitely, true. I might be a little concerned, wondering who may have put it there.
Especially if you stumbled upon it at work.
Yeah,
at you'd work, be like, that well, would be weird. This is a weird thing to find at work. And then you come out like Simon Pegg in Hot Fuzz, just armed to the teeth.
Yeah, and then everyone would be like, "Why are you? What are you doing?
What's going on?" And you're just,
and then you just get the cops called on you, and you go to jail, and nothing ever happened.
Yeah, nothing ever happened. Or no, you get the cops call on you, and then like the next day, a giant monster falls on the building.
Yeah,
and you're just like, "Oh, I found it a day early. Okay,
I should have said no when they asked me to go in the back room."
Yeah. I missed the checkpoint. That was the problem.
They expected me to wait because I'm always insubordinate.
but nobody's wondering why there were all those weapons in the building. like you're playing Resident Evil and you just find all this ammunition and you're like, what the fuck was going on at this guy's house? Like, why does he have so many guns?
Yeah.
I went into his bathroom. I found an RPG. What was that? There was just an RPG in the bathtub. Like, who was this guy?
That's true. Even I don't do that.
Yeah. I mean, it was very convenient. Don't get me wrong. I'm very happy that it was there. Because then, like, the super zombie I was able to blow up. But it's kind of weird.
I just like when you find ammo on the floor. You know. And it's not, like, in cases or anything. And you're just like, who just left ammo lying around the floor like this? It's very careless.
Yeah, I like sometimes where they're, like, in games where they point it out. And I started playing The Last of Us. It's for PlayStation 3 only, I think. But
yeah.
Like, I walked into a room, and the guy was like, hey, looks like somebody left some ammo over there. Yeah, but why is it there? I don't.
Yeah, it just so happens. Like, it's always great because you always just happen to find ammo that fits your gun too. Like, obviously, more so now in video games, there's a bunch of different guns. But yeah. You think about it, like back when you were playing like zombie games, or whatever, it was just like every single person was using a 9mm gun.
Yeah,
no one was using anything different.
It only said handgun ammo. It was
That's
like hand,
true too.
Yeah, it only said handgun ammo and machine gun ammo. That was the only differences. You had handgun, machine gun, grenades, and that was it.
There was no knowledge of, you know, different kinds of ammo.
It's like that line in Iron Man 3, where they're doing like the buddy cop film between him and Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Downey's like, I'm out of ammo. Give me one of yours. And he's like, no, it's a different gun. It doesn't work on yours. No, I know how it works. Just give me a couple or something. I don't. It used to work that way, but now no, not so much.
No, it doesn't work that way no more.
I imagine that most people that don't actually know anything about guns but just played video games would try to just cram whatever ammo they could find into the gun.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, especially if it looked similar, which a lot of it does, even though it won't fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely true.
They would do it.
Helicopter out there. Searching for criminals.
See, that's another thing that I was thinking of before. Thank you for mentioning that. Or thank you for whatever hooligan is running around out there, jumping fences and hiding under pools.
Yeah, under kiddie pools.
Like whenever I see a helicopter, I'm always like, I'm gonna shoot the pilot to bring the plane down. Whereas like most people would be like, oh, I need like a missile or something to take the helicopter down, which is probably the right way to do it.
Yeah.
And like the right way to think in real life. But me, I'm just like, I'm going to shoot the pilot. I'm just going to shoot the pilot.
Oh, I mean, that's been something that I feel has been ingrained in us for years in video games, where they've just been like, well, you don't have a rocket launcher, so you're going to have to make do and shoot the pilot. And I was like, that makes sense. Yeah, just shoot the pilot. Every time I see one now, I mean, unless like I already have the rocket launcher in my hand or something like that, I'm just like, grab a sniper rifle, shoot the pilot.
Sometimes I just do it with a machine gun. Like I spray the front of the plane till the guy dies.
Yeah, or that.
Yeah.
That's true. That's another one. That's another video game logic.
It makes perfect sense.
Don't blow up the plane. Just shoot the pilot.
Shoot the pilot.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think that's why, now that I think about it, one of my problems with the Avengers movie is that part where Samuel L. Jackson comes out, blows up the first jet, and then there's like, oh, there's the second jet that actually has the nuclear bomb on it.
Yeah.
And then he just pulls out his handgun. He was probably thinking, oh, I'll just shoot the pilot.
That's true. That's probably true. He did. He just, nothing happened, right?
No.
He just shot at the plane and it flew away.
He pulled out his handgun and like aimed it at the plane and then was like, well, this is stupid.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And then he stopped just... and I was just like, well, yeah.
Damn, I'm trying to think of where to go from here.
Well, speaking of the Avengers, I watched the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., yes, I watched a good portion of that as well.
I watched the first couple episodes.
Actually, I think I just watched the first.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, I thought it was all right. I thought it was well made. You know, it was, the acting left something to be desired. But,
Now, the, Coulson, he was good.
Yeah. He was good.
Everybody else did require some, I think require some training.
Yeah. The girl who was the reporter there, the journalist, she needs to go back to acting school.
The one that they found in the van?
Yes.
Yeah, she's she needs some help.
Yeah. Yeah, a couple others were iffy, but yeah, she was probably the worst.
Yeah. My favorite thing with her is when she is surprised, but she's obviously acting like she's surprised. Like, she can't get the genuine surprise thing, and she's supposed to be coming into this whole big world.
Oh, yeah.
But then they're just like, yeah, no, this is our first mission. And she's just like, what? That's crazy.
She's acting that she's acting surprised.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. It's not, and I'm not buying it.
And then there's the tough guy that doesn't really act like a tough guy.
What's his thing?
He's the guy that was like, I'm a lone wolf kind of guy. Like, I don't work on a team. And then they were like, yeah, you're coming on a team. And he's like, all right, fine. I bet that as his character develops, he's going to find out that he likes being on a team.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. He's going to be like Mr. Team Player.
Yeah. But, like, sometimes he'll go rogue.
He'll, at the end... I'm going to make a really weird reference here.
I thought you were going to say prediction. And you're like, at the end of the show, he's going to announce that he actually has a vagina. And that he's just decided to, as he's always hid pretending to be a woman, but now he's actually going to come, like, be a woman. He was going to become a man, but this team brought him together. He's going woman on this. He's going back to woman.
Like that. He's going back.
He was
very indecisive.
He was scheduled for the surgery to get a prosthetic dick, but then they were like, but then because of the team and the team effort, he was just like, you know what? I'm keeping this vagina.
Yeah.
Actually, I like it. I want to be a woman so much, I'm changing that operation to make a second vagina right next to it.
Dueling vaginas.
That's how much of a woman I want to be because of this team. That would be the really weird prediction that you made.
Well, okay, I'm not making a weird prediction. I was going to make a comparison to... I was going to say he's going to become such a team player. He's going to be like the guy in The Patriot who, at the start of the movie, he was the bigot. And he didn't like the slave there that was part of their crew.
Right.
And he... It's actually the same guy that he was on a TV show. Oh, what was it? It wasn't The War at Home. It was it was one of those crappy Fox TV shows in like the early 2000s where it was like a goofy guy and he had a hot daughter and a hot wife. He's been in a bunch of shit. But by the end of the movie, like, he comes around and he's like, you know, it's an honor fighting beside you. All of a sudden, he's not racist anymore after, like, 3 months of hanging out with this black guy.
Oh, okay. I guess that is a weird comparison.
I don't know. I just thought of it. I was like... Someone who comes around in a movie, and the first person I thought of was the bigot from The Patriot.
I can think of a weirder comparison. You ready for this?
All right, let's hear it.
He's going to be like Whoopi Goldberg in Sister Act.
Oh.
Because at first she's like, what the fuck am I doing here? Like, this is bullshit. I don't think she says all that because they think it's a PG movie.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
she doesn't like being with the nuns and she doesn't want to be there, but then like they form the choir and then she gets everybody in line and I think they save the nunnery or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah, the nunnery, the convent. Yeah,
so she becomes like part of them, so she kind of doesn't want to leave them. That's why she comes back in the second one. But like she was kind of like, "No, fuck you, I'm on my own." But then she was like, "Oh, these penguins can really help me out." So then she became part of the team. So I think that guy's going to be Whoopi Goldberg.
You know? I mean, that's not too bad.
I mean, it's a good comparison. It's kind of a weird one to draw, but...
Yeah. Okay, that guy, his name is Donald Logue. And the TV show was called Grounded for Life.
Oh, I know. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know who you mean.
The guy with, like, he's got, like, red hair. He's in a bunch of shit. He was in Blade.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, he's good. But he was... that role in The Patriot was just terrible, though.
He's really good in a TV show that I think it only lasted one season. It was on FX. It was called Terriers. Like the
okay.
Dog. It was really good. It's on
like Cosmo.
Yeah, it's on Netflix Instant. I highly highly recommend it.
Uh-huh. All right. Yeah, he's a pretty good actor.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's interesting. I'm not really sure where it's going to go, though. The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I was like, what the hell are we talking about here? No, I just don't know how much they can really do with it. Like, how... I don't know. I just don't know how long it could really be interesting.
I mean, maybe they're just doing it for a couple years until they get Avengers 2 out.
Yeah, it's just kind of like a little bit of a bridge or something.
Yeah, like maybe they're trying to tie stuff in now. I guess, you know, I'm going to say this. Spoilers if you don't want to know about theories on Coulson being alive in this or anything like that, or why he's alive or what happened, or if you don't really want to know about the show, then skip this part a little bit.
Beat it.
Did you watch the whole first episode?
Pretty much. I was.
Or you watched at least the beginning of it?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember the part where he's talking to the woman who's heading up S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever her name is, the one from How I Met Your Mother. And he's talking about being in Tahiti to, like, recuperate.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the doctor comes in and is like, your team's fit for duty. And then he's like, thanks. And makes another comment about Tahiti and walks away. And the doctor's like, Tahiti? He really doesn't know, does he? And then the chick's like, and he can never know. And then that's it? Mm. Like, they never mention it again, but they keep bringing up, like, oh, how are you alive? And he keeps going, I was in Tahiti or something.
Yeah. So...
so something's weird with that, obviously. Because they drew so much attention to it. They were like, hey, in case you didn't know, like, he says that he only died for, like, 4 seconds. But he's, he says, oh, we went to Tahiti. But, you know, something's up with that.
I'm thinking there's a couple options.
Well, and here's my theory.
Okay, what's your theory?
My theory is that he is the Coulson that's in the show is a life model decoy of the Coulson from the movie. But he doesn't know that he's a decoy. He thinks he's the real one, but he's just a decoy. And they
kind of like Moon.
Yes. Exactly. Okay. They explained his disappearance, or like his absence, and they just like put in memories of being in Tahiti for him.
Okay.
And to tie it into the next movie, he may become the Vision.
Oh. Okay.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I was thinking he could be just kind of like a clone.
Because I should explain, like, a life model decoy is like a robot, basically.
Oh, okay. So you're not thinking clone.
No, a life model decoy is kind of more like a robot almost. It's like a more realistic robot.
Like an android?
Yeah. Yeah. Like a replicant.
Yeah, like a replicant. Or like the guys in the androids in Alien.
Yeah.
Like Bishop.
Yes. Which may or may not be the same universe.
That's true.
That's a different episode.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking either that or could be like a clone, or could be that, I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe he was dead for longer than that. Maybe they buried him, or not buried him, but maybe they pretended to bury him and told everyone that he was dead and everything, brought him back to life.
Like using some weird technology or something, they brought him back to life?
Right. Something that we don't really, you know, doesn't really exist. And, you know, so now he, you know, everyone in the real world thinks he is dead, but he's actually still alive. And basically him, the person, is dead, but he's still working for S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't know. I mean, it could be anything like that, I guess.
Like, they brought him back in this really unsavory way.
Yeah. Yeah, like exactly. Something that would... He would probably have a problem with it if they told him.
Yeah. Like, they put his body on ice and then, like, made a deal with, like, Loki to bring him back or, like, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but now, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. knows that he's alive.
Well, yeah.
But see, there's something unsavory that's happening, that happened to him, that they don't want to know about. Like, they don't want him to know about. But my assumption is that he's going to find out within, you know, the next 6 months.
Should find out. Should be. Honestly, I'm probably more looking forward to hearing what that's all about than...
Anything else in the show?
Anything else? I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't really care about most of those characters.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they're trying to build stuff into them, but you're just like, you know. I guess I just want to. I want to see more superhero stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Again, I don't have a problem with it. I just, it's fine. It's fine for what it is. It's entertaining. You know. Especially because its basis is on stories and movies that I really like, so you know that's good. But I wish the story, you know. Well, I guess I don't know too much of the story yet, so I'm not gonna judge.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll probably stick with it for a few more episodes, and then maybe just watch it on like DVD or something.
Yeah.
Like, if it doesn't grab me enough to, like, for me to make the commitment to watch it week in, week out, I'll just wait and binge on it.
I'm not sure if it's worth me setting aside time to watch. You know, I'm not saying, like, in a one binge episode moment. I mean, like, being like, oh my god, I gotta go watch that. Gotta make sure I catch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. And I feel like it's not really one that a lot of people are going to be, you know, talking about.
At the water cooler?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, some might, but, you know.
Right.
They're probably not the kind of people that I really want to be talking to about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if they're talking about it at work, like, they're going into way too much detail, and I'm just like, Look, I was just wondering if you thought that the lone wolf guy had a vagina. That's all I wanted to know. I didn't need anything else about it.
But you were talking about it on your podcast, Keith.
Well, yeah, I know, but that's a podcast with somebody I actually like talking to, so.
But Keith, talk with me. I don't know who these people are that I have you working with.
But... I love that voice.
Oh, but no. Keith,
talk to me. Hey, Keith, could you go in that closet marked armory?
When you come out, you gotta shoot me in the eye.
Yeah. While you are in there, I am going to drink this strange liquid that I just found. I hope it doesn't cause me any trouble. It's, you know what, it's let's just cut to the chase. It's going to turn you into a monster, so why don't you just not drink it? How do you know that, Keith? Video game logic.
You doing that voice is a combination of Barbara Walters and Lou Ferrigno. Like, if those two had a child, that's what they
that's
would
what it would
like.
Sound like.
Yeah.
That would be a weird-looking child, too.
Can you imagine?
Just looking like a combination of those two, and then talking like that. What's weird is that their kid is actually a girl, and she is talking like this. Hello, big sexy. How are you? You want to go out sometime?
She's like 6'2".
No, yes.
Absolute behemoth.
But she has really stringy hair.
Yeah.
And she's always wearing pearls for some reason.
Always wearing pearls and purple pants. tight purple pants.
But she looks, and they're tight because she looks like she's done about a million tons of steroids.
Well, yeah, obviously.
But she's like, actually, my father says that I am malnourished.
He keep trying to feed me. I don't know why I just added like an Eastern try to feed me.
You still That was like a that was a perfect Dracula voice.
Yeah, it was kind of a Dracula voice.
Trying to feed me.
Hey, he's trying to feed me.
Hey, why did you do that weird laugh? I thought we were on a date or something. I thought you were gonna finger bang me in the movies.
Only if you were paying. I'm cheap. We must get going.
It's
my nephew's bar mitzvah tomorrow morning.
This is weird. You are all over the place. Where are you from? Did I show you this awkward picture of my parents? I apologize for cutting off my dad's head, but that's the only way we could get my mother's head in the picture. She's a short old woman. I do not know how she gave birth to me.
Oh. Does Barbara Walters have any kids, you think?
She gotta have some kids.
Maybe. I don't know. Has she
retired yet? I feel like a while ago she was like, I'm retiring.
I think she's, like, in partial retirement. You know? She's, like, an old guy who quits his real job, but still, like, has a part-time job at the golf course because he wants to stay busy.
Is she still on The View, though? I think she's still on The View.
Maybe.
But, like, she's leaving soon or something. Like, she was like, I'm leaving The View in 2 years. And you're just like, well, okay, I guess.
I mean, she's like fucking Barbara Streisand. Just go already. We're sick of your fucking farewells.
Oh, okay. Here it is. On March 28th, 2013, numerous media outlets reported that Barbara Walters would retire in May 2014, and then she would make the announcement on the show 4 days later. However, on the April 1st episode, Walters neither confirmed nor denied the retirement rumors. She said, if and when I might have an announcement to make, I will do it on this program, I promise. And the paparazzi guys, you can suck my dick. And the paparazzi guys, you will be the last to know. Walters confirmed 6 weeks later that she will be retiring from television hosting and interviewing in May 2014, as originally reported.
So it was true.
She made the official announcement on the May 13th, 2013 episode of The View, while also announcing that she will continue as the show's executive producer for as long as it's on the air, or until she dies, whichever.
I was going to say, I mean, People love that show.
So basically, she was probably about to make the announcement, and then they were like, she was like, you know what? I'm not gonna do it. I'm gonna wait. Yeah. And then she made the announcement, and she walked off stage. She threw both middle fingers up. And I was just like, fuck you, paparazzi guys. You show a ma. I am proud to be your daughter.
I bet Barbara Walton says kind of a mean street getter.
She's the kind of person that I don't think you want to cross.
No. Yeah, probably not.
I don't think you want to cross her.
I bet Barbara Walters knows some really good lawyers.
Probably. She's got to know a few. Here's a couple things about Barbara Walters. She was born in Boston, Massachusetts.
Ew.
She attended Lawrence School, a public school in Brookline, to the middle of fifth grade.
Uh-huh.
And then her family moved to Miami Beach.
Oh,
they moved to Miami Beach in 1939. Let's keep that in mind as a point of reference.
Holy shit!
For how old she is.
My God.
She's 84.
What a change. Boston to Miami Beach, huh?
Yeah. Another fun fact about Barbara Walters, she dated Alan Greenspan in the 1970s.
No way.
Yeah.
What a couple. Man, he was old as dirt, too. Oh, I think he's still alive.
Do you think they're...
I talk about everyone like that, Ted.
Do you think their pillow talk was him talking about interest rates, and she was just interviewing him about it? And she was like, I love it when you talk about interest rates. And he was like, I love it when you interview me about them.
Oh, and then they were just passionately old people kiss.
Well, in the 70s, they wouldn't be old people.
Well, I can you picture either of them not as old people, though?
Not really. I mean,
that's all I'm saying.
Barbara Walters, I can, because I'm looking at pictures of her right now.
Yeah.
I
mean, there is no way I can picture Greenspan as not an old fucking
just
man.
Not a crazy old man.
Yeah.
Let's see. She was married four times to three different men.
So she married one guy twice?
I guess so.
I mean, I give by the math.
Unless she was married to a woman or like a dog or something.
That's not true.
This is a quote from her in 1996. I'm convinced that you stay married when the sex is bad only because you really want to be. So
what?
She was like, look, this sex is really bad, but I mean, I guess, you know, I just want to stay married, so I don't know.
I'm sure that had nothing to do with you, Barbara.
Let's see.
I'm sure you were just an absolute demon in the sack.
Her husbands were Robert Henry Katz, a business executive, former Navy lieutenant. Lee Goober.
Guy was saying Goober.
Theatrical producer. Jesus. Theatrical producer and theater owner. And then Merv Endelson, the CEO of Larimar Television. They married in 1981, divorced in 1984, remarried on May 10th, 1986, and divorced again in 1992.
Oh, wow. A lot of good choices there.
She dated gay lawyer Roy Kahn in college. He said that he proposed marriage to Walters the night before her wedding to Lee Goober, but Walters denied this.
But she went ahead with Goober.
Wallace says the... I don't know what that... let's see. Anybody banging bands good? She was linked romantically to Senator John Warner in the 90s.
Yeah, I don't remember him.
Let's see. In her autobiography, Audition, that's the name of her biography.
That's gay.
She claimed that she had an affair in the 1970s with Edward Brooke, then a married U.S. senator from Massachusetts. Well, of course.
Yeah.
What senator from Massachusetts has not done something shady?
I mean, every politician from Massachusetts has done something shady.
It is not clear whether Walters was also married at the time. Walter said that they ended the affair to protect their careers from scandal. In 2007, she dated Pulitzer Prize winner gerontologist? What is a gerontologist? Robert Neil Butler.
I don't know. Sounds important.
Well, I'm going to find this out, and then... And then, you know, I don't know. Hang on, let's see. Hang on, it hasn't come up yet. Let's see if we can figure this out. Jaron.
I'm going to say...
I'm thinking it's got to do something with the... I don't know. Because Geo would be Earth. Maybe something to do with, like, DNA?
I'm going to say something to do with old people. Like, elderly studies.
If that's study of old people? Okay. Let's see. Gerontology. It's the study of the... Oh, my God. The social, psychological, and biological aspects of aging.
Yes! I knew it!
It is distinguished from geriatrics, which is the branch of medicine that studies the diseases of older people.
I knew it. That's why I thought of it, geriatrics.
That's good. Well done.
Yeah, thank you. I'm proud of myself. For the first time in a long time.
Today, you can be proud of yourself. Unlike myself, I am never proud because I cannot find a bra that fits.
He's lying my head.
My father had huge tits because he was a machine. Worked out all the fucking time. You know what he's famous for? Dressing up in green paint.
Just what? Throwing people.
Do you know how many of his life lessons were him talking to me about being the Hulk? Every sentence. When I was the Hulk. Come on already. We get it.
I tried to tell him stories. He never responded to me.
Later he would say, "I'm sorry, honey, I couldn't hear you." I think he's making it up. All right, well, that's it for Budget Wrong. I'm Keith Bodella.
I'm Greg DiNicola.
And remember, until next time, no regrets, and...
If you're Lou Ferrigno's daughter, you better get a big bra, because he had some big tits.